Yo, Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
Rach. How are you?
Hey. What's going on? I'm good.
I'm in New York.
You're in New York. And we were, I was concerned about your background, which tells me everything I need to know about your room.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. Shout out to Hip Hop Baba Sides, the television show, WeTV, September. It's not the production's fault. It's just not.
Okay.
New York hotels are through the gazillion roof. Every city we go to, bomb hotels. Bomb hotel in Miami. Excuse me, I haven't been to Miami yet. Bomb hotel in Chicago. Bomb hotel in Atlanta. Bomb hotel in New Orleans. New York hotels are more expensive. We've been here twice. And the two times that we've been here, it's been, you know, hey, it's not what I would call luxury living. But it's cool. It's cool. It's clean. And it's got a lot of people, which is not great. But
wait, the hotel has a lot of people?
Just the New York has a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? I was fucking trying
to jog.
What part
of New York are you in?
Midtown. Yeah. There's a lot of people like, I tried to jog.
Yeah. And people were like, very touristy.
Fat nigga. No, get out of our way. They did. They were like, hey. They were like, oh my God, Ghostbusters 3, the fucking Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is black.
Stop.
They were like, Jesus Christ. Hey, fatso. Van. Stop breathing our air.
Van, you upset a lot of people with your post.
Which post?
You said, at least I'm not short.
Yeah, I'm not. It's a true statement.
Okay, but you didn't say, I'm tall. You said, at least I'm not short. Which isn't just a statement, it's also shade.
It's shade against and short people?
Was that a question? I think it's pretty clear that you were shading short people. Hey, at least I'm not you. But I'm not you.
You know, you said
I'm not short. So you anybody know, who's short, if anybody who's short, there are things called implications, Van. And that right. statement implies a lot.
Well, the statement wasn't meant like that. You know what I'm going to start doing? Let me tell you what I'm going to start doing. I'm serious about this. I got a summer coming up. And you know what the name of this summer is going to be, Rachel? Fuck it summer. And if it's not fuck it summer, it's going to be fuck you summer. I'm serious. When I was saying at least I wasn't short, I was saying, hey, I'm fat, but at least I'm not short.
Because of course, I knew exactly what
fat,
you were saying.
I would feel different about myself, you know? And that's not to diss other people. That's how I feel. I didn't mean any harm. But if you took offense,
my grandmother says that.
I didn't mean any harm. But if you took offense, fucking eat it. I don't give a fuck. I'm sick of walking on eggshells. I am because I'm too fat to walk
okay,
on anyway.
Okay, okay. Can I crack the eggs? But like,
I cracked the
if
eggs.
If I said, but at least I'm not ugly. How would you feel?
Nigga, I wouldn't feel anyway because I'm not ugly either.
No, you're not.
Oh, wow. Wow. By the way,
that came out so bad. I didn't mean it like that. I just meant like people, and I meant as a general you. That was not directed to you.
Let me be real with you. I think ugly and short is different because I think ugly.
You're right, because ugly is an opinion. Yeah.
And I don't think there are people that are really ugly.
That's a bad thing because you're right. That is an opinion.
We're all human.
So that's being like. But here's the, did you say snowflakes?
We're people, we're snowflakes. We're all different and like.
We'll get into that later.
We're snowflakes.
We'll get into snowflakes later.
I don't believe in ugliness.
No, you're right about that. That is opinion based. I'm trying to, but here's the thing. The at least, can we agree that it's saying I may be this, at least I'm not that. And for the people who are that are going to be like, damn.
So look, I don't disagree with, I'm not saying what you're saying isn't real. What I'm saying is I wasn't meaning to shade them. And because I wasn't meaning to shade
so
them,
bold.
Fuck it. I'm going to be real with you. I wasn't meaning to shade them. I was looking at myself and I had a thought. I was like, hey, man, you know, at least I'm not short. I can hide it a little bit better. But I didn't say
that
the whole thing.
Better.
That's fine. I don't fucking care.
You know what it was, man? It was the whole presentation. It was just bold in your face.
Yeah.
Bam. If you had said it on the podcast, it would have come out. Well, you did. And it comes out totally different. But I'm all here. I am here for fuck it summer.
Fuck it summer. Do me a favor. Get mad. See, like get mad. I don't care. I'm over
it's like
it.
Trudy not... saying, at least I have a hairline.
I don't have one, though. So I couldn't say that.
Trudy, like, and by the I'm way, not directing it to you. These are general use.
Let me tell you something. And by the way, with a situation like that, Trudy says stuff like that all the time.
And people gets, get upset.
They only praise her for it. Oh my God. I swear, oh Jesus Christ.
We ain't had
so
Trudy's corner in a long time.
We haven't had Trudy's corner in a while, but that's just because I wanted some of the heat to subside. We can have it any time. Trudy's got opinions. Every time Trudy says, fuck, Trudy has three edicts in life. Fuck poor people, fuck bald people, and fuck these niggas. And every time she says it, and every time she says it, she gets more fans. I say at least I'm not short, and people go nuts. Fuck it.
Wait, can I just correct something?
No,
I don't have nothing against the baldies. It's just the people with the fucked up hairline that won't let it go.
It don't matter. It's the same shit.
It is, Trudy. I'm just gonna go ahead and have to say it.
Trudy, you gotta join Fuck It Summer. What?
Just semantics.
It's not semantics. Trudy. It's not semantics at all, Trudy.
Trudy. You got Trudy's tribe. That's y'all's mantra.
Yeah.
Those three things right there.
Those are the three things. And by the way,
absolutely, our core values.
Every time she says it, and by the way, you bet not come at Trudy. Other niggas get on the Reddit and come out, but I'm not doing any of that. I'm not coming at people on Reddit anymore. I'm not doing any. Fuck it.
Gross.
Be mad.
Gross.
Be mad. Be mad. Be mad. Like, you know, fuck. What's going on with you? Right?
You know whose show I want to see you on? I want to see you go on Z-Way.
Why?
I just think it would be a really funny conversation.
Well, let me tell you why I don't think me going on Z-Way would be that funny. Because I met Z-Way already. I know Z-Way. I met her at Tommy's house.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the loveliest,
I love her,
nicest, most amazingly cool person. And so the Z-Way thing that she does on the show, while it is brilliant, I don't think it would get to me. Because I've met the actual person and she is amazing.
It didn't get to me.
I know. But also, you...
I feel like she was nicer to me. I feel like she was a little nicer to me. But it didn't... And I wasn't in person with her either. It was through Zoom. But it didn't get to me. So I feel like you would be fine on there.
Yeah, I'm not going
to... I love to watch her. Shout out to Z-Way. I love... If y'all don't watch her show, I love to watch what she does.
It's one of the best shows on TV. By the way, and I'll tell you something right now. Also with her, it's out of love. And she's saying it to your face, right?
I love it.
Like all of the soulless jackals out there that just get at you for crazy shit. I'm over it. I said what I said. I wasn't trying to hurt your feelings. But if your feelings got hurt, fuck it.
See, because she would take that tweet and run with it. And it would be interesting. You said that she wouldn't get to you. Did she get to Charlamagne?
No.
Okay.
And she lit his motherfucking ass up.
She did. She did.
And she lit his motherfucking ass up. And And she lit his ass up. And she did not. He did not get to her. As a matter of fact, he loves her.
How can you not? I'm sorry. How can you not?
He loves her. He loves her. It's fantastic. I don't think we should add. You know what? We'll talk about it later. Robert Griffin III and white people. I'll tell you what. Interracial is on top of the game right now, Rachel. Do you think? Let me ask you a question. Because you're interracial, you know, you're IR. Do you feel the need to be on the side of the rest of the IR brigade? You know what I mean?
IR brigade. Let me tell you what I don't feel. Let me tell you what I don't feel.
What?
I don't feel the need to be the spokesperson for the IR brigade. I don't feel the need to be the spokesperson when there is an attack on an interracial couple or a topic. I am not RG3. He can nominate himself in that. I do not feel like I need to step out and speak up every single time somebody has a problem with an interracial couple. I don't. And somehow, you could have told me that. Are we getting into this topic?
We're going to do it later.
Okay. Then I'll just save it.
Well, save it later. What did you eat for dinner last night?
Why? Do you know I hate when people ask me that question?
Fuck it.
I'm going to tell you why it's triggering. Because I dated is a loose word, but I talked to a guy and he had nothing to say. And when he didn't have anything to say, he'd be like, what did you eat today? So anytime somebody asks me that, that's what that reminds me of. Like, you know, I know crazy? You got a better question. I know you got a better question for me.
Well, I actually was asking for a reason, but your trauma has overwhelmed the conversation. So now we can dead it and get into the show.
I had salmon and asparagus.
Guess what? Couldn't give a fuck less now.
Fucking spring.
Couldn't give a fuck less now. I'm sorry. I care more about what you went through with that guy than I do about what you ate. You've changed my priority set. All right. On the other side of this, we're going to get into some peak white mess. And if there's anything that I like on the show, it's white mess. Let's take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. You could be doing anything this week, right? You've got work, errands, friends, and a whole lot of fun in between. That's why the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the capable SUV that's built for your life. With premium interiors, available wireless charging, and room for your whole cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
All right, Nick Saban. Trudy, do you know who Nick Saban is?
Yes, coach Alabama.
Okay, who did he coach before Alabama?
I don't know.
Oh, Trudy?
What?
Guess. It was a professional team.
It was a professional team. Who did he coach before Alabama?
So an NFL team.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Definitely wasn't the Cowboys.
Wrong.
It was?
No, it was not the Cowboys. You're right.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't the Cowboys. Donnie, who did Nick Saban coach before he coached Alabama?
He was with the Dolphins.
Oh,
I was never going to get there. Y'all could take my.
Okay, Trudy, card. But who was he with before the Dolphins?
Oh, no, y'all cut it out. We're not quizzing Trudy.
He went back to he was in college before the Dolphins. What team was he with?
No.
Louisiana State Fighting Tigers. Now, bonus round on Nick Saban.
Also known as LSU, Trudy.
Yeah. Who was Nick Saban with before he came to LSU?
Ooh. Now that.
I know that one.
I don't know. Go ahead, Donnie.
Big Michigan State Spartans.
Michigan State Spartans. Yeah. We took him. We took him. And then he brought us to the championship, and then he turned his back, and he's been a bitch ever since. Okay.
Wow.
Now, Nick Saban ruffled some feathers. Okay, let's set the stage right here. Mm-hmm. Rachel, tell the people what NIL is.
NIL is name, image, and likeness. For a long time, amateur players, also known as college players, collegiate athletes have been asking to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness, right? For all the money that they bring into these schools, they receive absolutely nothing. They get these very minimal allowances. Like, it was bad. Anyways, so they've been fighting this for a long time. It's been challenged and challenged. It went up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decided in favor of the student athletes, and now they are allowed to collect money on their name, image, and likeness. Basically, they can be influencers.
Yes. Things the Supreme Court cares about. College players being able to be on video games, yes. Women being able to control their bodies, no.
Nope.
at Supreme Court is very tricky. Now.
Also, but that was before the court turned.
Very true. Now, this obviously changed the game because name, image, and likeness. It used to be that as a college player, like Rachel said, you couldn't make any money. You couldn't do a commercial. You couldn't do anything like that, right? You could have a job sometimes, but even having the job was murky because there were programs like Oklahoma back in the day who would
give
a player a job, right? And then the player would work an hour a week and they would say, hey, you worked 40 hours. And the booster would be the person that owned the car dealership or whatever. It happened down in Oklahoma. It just happened everywhere. Happened at LSU. Happened all over the place. But now, name, image, and likeness, you can get paid to endorse. You can get paid whatever. You can pay whatever. Okay, this happened pretty quickly. And being that this whole thing happened so quickly, the NCAA wasn't really able to set up the infrastructure to manage this correctly. All right? And because they haven't set up the infrastructure to manage it correctly, these are the adults, not the problems, not the kids. What has happened is, right now, it is a free-for-all, particularly in college football. All right? It's up. Texas A&M has the number one recruiting class right now. Not in America, not of 2022. They have the number one recruiting class of all time. If you don't know, recruits are based on stars. This is how they are graded, from one star up to five star. A five-star recruit is a program changer. I mean, really, it's one star, two star, it doesn't really even matter. Three star, four star, five stars, right? Five-star recruit is a program changer. Texas A&M recruited more five-star recruits to their school this year than entire conferences, like whole coalitions of schools did, right? It's just nuts. And one of the reasons why, undoubtedly, is because Texas A&M has a super rich booster alumni association, and they were allowed to use the existing NIL rules to offer tons of money to players and get a lot of recruits in. Nick Saban, who is the greatest college football coach of all time, love him or hate him, is sick of the bullshit. He is the coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, and he was talking to a group of boosters, and he let Texas A&M's Jimbo Fisher, the head coach, have it. Donnie, play the sound.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future, because more and more people are doing it.
He also had a little talk about Deion Sanders, who was able to get Travis Hunter, the nation's number one cornerback. Some had him ranked as the number one player in the entire country, to come to Jackson State, where Deion Sanders is the head coach. Nick Saban talked openly about the amount of money he feels like Travis Hunter took to come to Jackson State. Run that sound, Donnie.
There are rules, just like Nate said. We have a rule right now that says you cannot use name, image, and likeness to entice a player to come to your school. Hell, read about it in the paper. I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it.
So, this is why this is the big deal of the day. This issue this seems like, and we'll get to Jimbo Fisher's response in a second. This seems like two meat factories, meat markets, which is what a college football program is, pissing on each other, or one guy pissing on a couple of other guys because he's pouting. But it also, there's a deeper conversation to be had here about the role of the black athlete in generating the billions of dollars that college football does. About the way that money influences these schools and influences these boosters and influences these teams, and also about entitlement, privilege, and being a bitch. Rachel, when you saw what Nick Saban said, what did you think?
I'm trying to talk about it and not also touch on what Jimbo's response was. But when I saw just Saban's comments standing alone. This is a guy who is upset because it seems like his dynasty is slipping out of his hands. Nick Saban, if you follow college football, has had a hold on college football and had the number one program for years. I don't know how many championships he's won. And my internet cut out for a second, so I don't even know if you stated that. I missed a lot of what you were saying. Seven. Okay. Always had a top recruiting class. Always has amazing coaching staff. Those coaches go on to have top jobs in college football or in the pros. Saban lost last year to Georgia. Now he lost the top recruiting class. Mind you, he's still number two. Right? You're still number two. This is a man who is used to being on top and is complaining because it is slipping out of his hands. And that's the first thing I thought when I saw this. And he is trying to bring attention. He is trying to call out something that could possibly make that dynasty come back his way, like swing it back towards him. He's calling out the things that are in his way that he feels are stopping him from remaining on top. That's what this is.
So Alabama's dynasty is far from over. Alabama will likely win the national championship this year.
Okay, but they didn't. They didn't last year.
No, I'm talking about they didn't last year, but they were in the national championship game.
They were. But it's not enough for Saban to make it to the game. Saban's got to win. This is the man who's won seven titles. Right. Yeah. And not all at Alabama. So this
six
is
six in Alabama, though.
Six in Alabama. But this is a man who's used to nothing but winning. That's the goal every year. Not making it to the championship isn't enough. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a dynasty.
So let me tell you, it's not only is it important, the fact that they lost, it's also important who he lost to. Mm-hmm. Saban last year lost two games, one game. He lost to Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart was a defensive coordinator for Nick Saban at Alabama. The other game, he lost to a man named Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher was an offensive coordinator at LSU when Nick Saban was our head coach. So these are two assistants that beat Saban in the same year. Okay. One beat him in the regular season. The other beat him for the national championship. Okay. Jimbo Fisher, who is the head coach of the Texas A&M Aggies and who was the target of Saban's Laurent, fired back, and he got in Saban's ice.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable.
The T. He also talked about something else. Well, Nick Saban talked about something. And this is an interesting situation. And I wonder how you look at that. Both of these guys, Nick Saban called for something that would insulate college football from being sued. He wants antitrust exemption for college football. And this was Nick Saban's point. So there's something else in college football called the transfer portal. That means that I go to LSU. Let's say I'm not playing. It used to be that if I wasn't playing at LSU, I would transfer. But if I transferred, I have to sit out a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if I transferred inside the conference, I might have to get a release from my school to be able to do that. Right.
Right.
What happened was kids would then sue the NCAA because of that, and the NCAA not wanting to take on all of these lawsuits would just grant them a waiver so they could transfer wherever they wanted. Now you have the transfer portal. Right now, the college athlete can transfer to another school the very next year and play immediately. They can transfer from a school, arrive on campus, and join the new program. They just have to go through the transfer portal. What you are seeing is unparalleled freedom of movement and riches to primarily the young black athlete that college football has based its business model around. And because of that, the old white men are fighting. The old white guys are fighting with each other because there's never been a situation where there's been this type of freedom and riches to the young black athletes that make up these college football teams. And it's an interesting situation that we're seeing a cap fight at the highest levels between these two guys because these young motherfuckers can get their money.
Interesting. I don't disagree with you in the fact that black men are now able to profit and to control a situation more than they ever have before when it's been white men controlling the system. However, if Saban had the boosters that an A&M or even a Texas has, if Saban broke the record for the top recruiting class ever, this wouldn't be a conversation.
It would be a conversation from somebody else.
It might not land the same way because this is Saban, right? Arguably the best college football coach ever. So it wouldn't land the same way.
But we wouldn't be here.
But it hits more because it's Saban, and we wouldn't be hearing from Saban if Saban, if Texas A&M did not get this recruiting class, Saban would never say this.
It's not because it's Saban. Saban has said this before. The reason why it's hitting right now is because he specifically called out a school.
What did he say before?
Before, he's talked about NIL and how NIL was bad for college football and how NIL would change college football and how other things would destroy college football and how bad it was going to be. He talked about it before it went into play. The difference is now, though, is that he pointed at another school. He pointed at Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M and called them out. What was being said about Texas A&M, we all knew. There's a guy named Jacoby Matthews. He was he's a safety from Ponchatoula, right? All of his friends went to LSU. He had wanted to play for LSU since he was a kid. Everyone who follows recruiting knows why Jacoby Matthews went to Texas A&M. Everyone knows why he went there. Jacoby Matthews went to Texas A&M because Texas A&M offered him $460,000, and that beat whatever LSU's bid was. And his family can't.
Did Texas A&M offer that, or he had a deal that offered that?
So this is the way this is going.
Because we have to explain NIL rules, right? They're not regulated in the same way. And I know that the NCAA has been asking for federal laws to regulate it, but obviously they're hesitant because they don't want to do anything that's violates antitrust laws, right? They want to encourage competition, so they're hesitant to do it. Talk about the NIL rules, because it's not the school that's paying him $460,000.
It kind of is.
Talk about it.
Okay, so the way NIL is supposed to work, let's say we had a higher learning NIL, mm-hmm. right? What we would do is we would get an athlete that was going to go to LSU or Texas, and we would say, hey, if you promote higher learning, right, if you promote higher learning, then we're going to give you this much money. So this athlete
And these are called collectives, right? So we are a collective.
We're not a collective. We're a brand.
Okay.
Right? So, like, we're a brand. And because we're a brand, we hire a kid. Like, if you have Raising Cane's, you hire a kid, he's going to – it's a deal. Like, it's any other deal. Like, here, you can get paid money to endorse this. What a collective is it's a group of people that put their money together for NIL purposes, right?
Yes.
That right there is made up of a group of boosters.
Right.
The coach of the school, in this case Texas A&M, or be it LSU or Alabama, they know exactly how much money is in the collective. So if the collective has $2 million for a recruiting class, then the coach knows how much money is in the collective. So then now he knows that money isn't coming from the school, but it is coming from the school. So now he knows this. He knows if he gives one kid, it's really a salary cap. He knows if he gives one kid $200,000 in NIL money, then he can only give another kid $30,000 in NIL money, and that's how you get coaches negotiating on behalf of their collectives. They're negotiating with a big pot, and now it's pay for play because of the NIL. It certainly is.
Well, that's, I wanted you to explain it, because for anybody who's listening and doesn't understand NIL, I don't want them to think that, oh, Texas is like, Texas is saying, here's your $2 million contract to come play for us. It's not necessarily how it works, right? It's an indirect way.
It's, these collectives, it's not, are, but it is.
It is. No, it's absolutely indirect. It's absolutely indirect. It's not direct, right? Like the athletic department, you can't necessarily say is about that. But yes, an indirect way of financing these athletes to come to your school. But it's being done at Alabama as well. And I think the problem is that Saban is trying to say that Jimbo and them are doing it in an illegal way. And technically, these collectives are not regulated. So it's not against the rules to be doing it this way.
It's not against the rules. What he's saying is he's doing it in an unethical way. And hey, what Saban is claiming is that this is not the way they go about it.
Okay. Well, Alabama. Until I really think that if Saban was winning, had won this, like the recruiting class, I do not think we would hear him talking about this or hear him calling out people individually. Fine. And he's not just calling about Jimbo. Going to Deion.
It should be known
that Jimbo and Saban had a close relationship. Had, yeah, now, being now, the key word.
Like now Jimbo acting like he want that goddamn fade. I feel like Jimbo wants a fade from Nick Saban. All this has to do, think about this. This is a microcosm in a lot of ways for what happens when the people, I'm telling you, there is no plan in America for certain people to get paid. There's no plan for it. There's no plan for the success of certain people. It's not in the cards.
NIL wasn't supposed to happen.
NIL comes along, and now you have players in all different types of sports with absolute autonomy in what it is that they're doing with their lives. And the NCAA had no plan for it. They never thought they'd be in a situation where the players had this much power. And because it is now, you're going to see all kinds of shit. And if they try to change NIL too much, or if they give an antitrust exemption to the NCAA, you'll see people involved in this conversation that have never been involved in it before, because there is a socioeconomic aspect to this conversation, and there is also a racial one in this conversation, especially when you're talking about Nick Saban calling out Jackson State. Jackson State, I don't give a fuck where the money comes from. Jackson State needs Travis Hunter. They need him. The type of television coverage, the type of hype, the type of profile that he can give to the school by being the type of athlete that he is, it's invaluable to the school as a brand and to the school in terms of finances. Like, if black athletes by and large went to these HBCUs, the television contracts would change. The TV contracts would then change the money coming into the schools. And then you might have these schools turn into something that they've never been before, which is priority institutes of higher education in this country. And a black athlete has the chance to make that change. And maybe NIL, if people like whoever got into it, well, I'm not going to, you know, get into it with Travis Hunter, actually help that happen. So I'm for it.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely for it. And I have a huge problem with Saban coming after Deion, especially because it's deeper than that, right? It goes into race as what you're talking about, and the benefits that Deion is bringing back into the community and with HBCUs. There's been a negative connotation when it comes to athletes going to HBCUs and choosing these bigger PWIs over going to an HBCU. Deion is trying to change the narrative. The odds are against Deion. Deion is putting his time, his effort, his money into all of this. And the fact that Saban is attacking what Travis Hunter and Jackson State is really shining a negative light, or he's trying to shine a negative light on this program. And when the odds are already against what Deion's doing at Jackson State, they don't need this type of negative attention. And so I find it extremely offensive, especially because, and this is why I did not know that Saban had said comments before, because he was quoted complimenting Deion about getting Travis Hunter. Talking about the respect he has for Deion, how Deion was a good guy. He talked about the great things that Deion was doing for that program. And he said, quote, he didn't know, he wasn't going to comment on what happened because he doesn't know the details behind it. And he just said, everybody has the freedom of choice when he was talking about Travis Hunter choosing Jackson State. Now, all of a sudden, you're giving details about it. So this is why I had that comment about Saban hasn't said anything, because
he
said changed.
He read it in a newspaper. He said that Jackson State was bragging about it in a newspaper. And he made
right.
It
I don't
like
know which one he was. I don't know which. Yeah. But he made it seem like Jackson State was bragging about the money that they gave to Travis. Right. That's what he made it seem like. But prior to that, he was complimenting it and said, I don't know the details. I'm not going to say anything. So it's just real petty to me on Saban's part. And it's honestly a bitchy move.
All right, let's stay on sports for a second. The U.S. women's national team, soccer team, is getting an equal split of World Cup bonuses in brand new CBAs. The unions for the United States men and women's national soccer teams have agreed to ratify new collective bargaining agreements with the U.S. soccer, with U.S. soccer, that includes an equal split of World Cup bonuses. The two CBAs will go into effect June 1st and will last until the end of 2028. The agreements are a promise kept by U.S. Soccer Federation President Cindy Parlow Cohn, who had vowed that new CBAs would need to address equal pay issue of World Cup bonuses. The CBAs also put into effect the much-celebrated financial settlement between the U.S. women's national team and the Federation, which was announced in February after years of legal jousting. The deals changed the dynamic between the two teams. Before, they were competing for the attention and resources from the USSF. Now they are working together to benefit both unions. Rachel, what are your thoughts?
I think this is a great thing. And I think, and I know that it's different when you start comparing it to other leagues, but I think it's a beautiful example of showing two sides coming together, men and women, because let me add, it was a woman who was leading this and who vowed to get it done, and she got it done. I want to put, and I feel like if it wasn't a woman, not quite sure that this would have happened, but it was important that the only way this deal could have been done is if the union side of the men and the union side of the women came together to negotiate on this contract. And they did. And now, instead of working against one another, they're going to be working together. They're not competing for the attention of, is it USSF? Is that how you call it? Instead of competing for that money, they're working together. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. And I know, like I said, it works different in other leagues, but I think it's an example of people coming to the table, having the same goal, being like-minded, and getting done what needs to be done. Fair, equal pay. So congratulations to the women.
There are a lot of differences between the structures of the men's soccer contracts and the women's soccer contracts, some of which benefit the women in terms of
salaries. They had salaries.
Women get salaries. The men don't. Mm-hmm. There was no mention of health insurance in the men's deal. There was a mention of health insurance for the women. So things are like a little bit different. This is my deal. There's still going to be a pay gap for some of the stuff. This is the money that's coming from the Federation, right? There'll still be a pay gap, though, if the men make the World Cup. Because if you make the World Cup, the bonuses from making the World Cup are going to be paid from how much money the World Cup generates.
Sure.
So, and the slice of that for the World Cup, the men's World Cup, is just infinitely bigger. It's not even close to what the Women's World Cup generates, right? I think this is commendable on behalf of the United States here, the Federation, because the women are significantly better than the men in the world landscape. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that their profile is just as high, if not higher.
I think it's higher.
You know what I mean? So as far as what's coming from US soccer, it should be equal. You could argue that the women could actually be a little bit more marketable, and maybe they make a little bit more, because some of the men like go overseas, not all of them, but you know, Captain America can go overseas and make a lot of money playing in English Premier League and stuff like that. But what I want to make sure that people know is, if you hear or see an article coming out, if the men make the World Cup, and I haven't been following it, maybe they've already qualified, I'm not sure. And it talks about the bonus structure of the World Cup. That has to do with how popular the game is and the revenue splits after all the money's been made. So what I'm telling people is, all of this is cool. Activism and awareness is cool. The number one thing that you can do for the WNBA or for women's soccer is watch the games. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now, if you're talking all of this shit and you're not watching and supporting these sports, you're full of it. I'm going to be honest with you. If you're talking all of this shit and you're not watching women's soccer, you're not paying attention to women's soccer players, you're not watching the WNBA, you're not engaged in the sport, you're hurting them. What? You're hurting them. Like, more men watch the WNBA than women do.
You're right.
That's an actual stat. So what we need for people to do supporting these players is not just speaking out on their behalf. The only way they'll ever get close to making what the men's game is making is if the games are, is if their sports are more popular. So you need to watch and support the sports. The MLS here has a pretty decent fan base. There is a women's league, a pro league here in America that gets almost zero support. And it is up to brands, and it is up to corporations to push these leagues and give these leagues every opportunity to succeed. But if it's up to them to do that, then it's up to you to watch. Learn some new shit. Like, learn some soccer shit. Get to some soccer shit. Learn something else. Like, get to it. You got to watch it. I'm very happy for the ladies, but this is a start, because for them to really get paid on the level, the sport's going to have to be more popular and more people are going to have to get into it. The United States women play beautiful soccer. They play beautiful, amazing, coordinated, fantastic soccer. They play great soccer. So watch them. You know what I'm saying? God damn it. Fuck, I'll watch. I like it. You like soccer? You like watching women's soccer?
You know what? I started getting into soccer more because of Brian.
Brian plays soccer?
Brian played soccer from a young age till 18.
This he is was like a Colombian like on, thing?
It's a Brian thing. It's a Brian and, thing. He played competitive soccer all the way up until he graduated high school.
Playing soccer for Colombia was dangerous back in the day. There was this whole thing. It's a great 30 for 30 called the Two Escobars. Mm-hmm. Talks about this guy that got killed when he did,
I think
we
talked
goal.
About it on the podcast. Yeah.
Crazy shit.
I saw that 30 for 30 though, by the way.
You enjoyed it?
It's good. 30 for 30 is just a good show.
Now, we got to stay on sports. One more sports topic. This is a sports heavy episode. This is not really sports.
What is really this sports. One?
LeBron James Jr., better known as Bronny, took a beautiful date to his prom. He's a junior over at Sierra Canyon. I'm not sure if this was his prom or some other prom. I don't know how that went. Did you go to just your prom or did you go to other proms? How many proms did you go to?
I went to three proms.
Oh,
my senior year.
The triple crown prom queen. Which proms? Whose prom did you go to?
Like, you know the schools. I went to Skyline prom.
Oh, niggas.
Yep. I went to Duncanville's prom.
Oh!
And I went to First Baptist Academy.
You guys had a prom at First Baptist Academy. Did you guys have to dance and leave room for the Holy Ghost in the middle of your dancing? No. You go to Christian school, they'd be like, hey, get off her. Leave some room for the Holy Ghost.
I can't stand you. Though there were chaperones. No, you could not get too close, but we did not have to make room for the Holy Spirit.
Leave some room for the Holy Ghost is what they would say. I'd be like, what? Like, we'd have a lock-in. We'd be, you know, playing music and stuff. Like, when y'all dance, just make sure, leave some room for the Holy Ghost. I'm like,
I hated lock-ins, but keep going.
You can't tell me you hated a lock-in.
They were too long.
A lock-in is the whole fucking purpose of going to church. I used to look forward to a lock-in like nothing else. Lock-in is so amazing. Fucking stay up and eat pizza, play dodgeball, learn about the Bible for an hour until the, maybe not even that, until the chaperones go off and do whatever they do or fall asleep, and then it's all about us exploring each other. So, it's all about, I used to love a lock-in.
It's so true, but keep going.
It's all about us exploring each other, baby. So LeBron James Jr. went to prom and his date was white. She was white too. She wasn't just like, she was white. Look, she's the white, nigga blonde. Goes to school, blonde, LeBron James Jr., beautiful girl, young girl. LeBron, Bronny's doing it, you know, and keep it real with you. This is not the first time we've seen Bronny with a little, you know, we saw a video with Bronny and Bronny, they were playing like the little bop it game. You know, a little bop it when you do the whole thing. And it's like, you know, they were doing it was like a TikTok thing. And the girl was white. And everybody was like, oh, shit. Seen it. Bronny.
He goes to a PWI. So he's that makes sense for him to have some white friends.
He's a kid, man. But this Dr. Umar put this up on his fucking Instagram.
No.
You didn't see Dr. Umar.
That's where it came from.
Wait. Dr. Umar.
Dr. Umar. No, I did not know that.
Dr. Umar put it up on his Instagram. Dr. Umar said, I thought LeBron
just
James
say Umar.
Was pro-black. Why you want me to just say Umar?
I don't see it. Are we sure he put it on his Instagram?
Oh, he definitely did. He took it down then. He must have took it down. But he definitely.
Wow, I wonder why he took it down though.
That got sent to the group chat. He definitely put that up on his Instagram. As a matter of fact, it's still in the group chat. Did you just post on social media?
Me?
Yeah.
No?
Oh,
no?
It's still, look, see right there?
Is it a story?
No, it was on his page.
But try to click it now.
It's gone.
Yeah, he took it down.
He took it down. But it's right here. I still got the post. I'm going to screenshot that bitch.
I wonder why he took it down.
He probably was getting too much shit from people. You know, LeBron James is very powerful, and maybe LeBron James made a donation to the school or something like that. But it's the
also
post
kids.
Said,
it's like, come on.
Yeah, you don't do that to kids, man. Like, no disrespect, but yo, LeBron, I thought you were an activist. And it's a picture of Bronny with, and then at the top right corner of the screen, there's a white bunny. So he put a snow bunny at the top right corner of the screen.
Let me see it.
It's very funny. It's fucked up though. You don't do this to kids. You see right there at the top right corner of the screen? That's a bunny.
Oh my gosh.
It's a bunny up there. All right. So Robert Griffin III, who is famously married to a white woman, track star down there, decided he would step into the fray here. You take up the mantle, and he would go full Hubert Davis, my wife is white, and stick up for the Swirl team. Team Swirl. Run the audio, Donnie.
Bronny James upset a lot of miserable people tonight because he decided to take a white girl to prom as his date. First of all, it's 2022. What's wrong with that? He can take an avatar to prom for all I care. Who he chooses is who he chooses. And secondly, it's given weird energy that a bunch of grown men and women, 40-year-old men and women, are trying to tell a 17-year-old who they think he should bring to prom. This ain't got nothing to do with LeBron and Savannah not raising Bronny right. And the color of the skin of the girl that he takes to prom should not matter. Leave these kids alone.
Okay.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. All right. But this is still kind of pussy. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'll tell you why.
On whose part?
On RG3's part.
Okay.
Because if you're talking to Umar, just mention his name. All right. Just come on. Give us that spice we're really looking for. Because Umar could do a whole fucking documentary on Robert Griffin III. And I'm not on Umar's side on
now
this.
Now that I know that that's where it came from, I need this back and forth.
And by the way, it didn't just come from Umar. A lot of people were talking about it. But I think if you're going to do that, just go ahead and call out Umar. Secondly, I think even though RG3 is right, the messenger is going to matter here. And even though Rob Parker got fired for this, people still look at RG3 as kind of like a cornball brother. And I'm not saying that he is.
I forgot about Rob Parker.
But Rob Parker called him a... Rob Parker has me blocked on Twitter for some reason. I have no clue why.
Well.
But they still look at him like that. Question though. RG3 is right, right?
Yeah, he's right.
Why do you think people care?
I think people fantasize what they think certain people should do, right? How they think certain with celebrities. When I say certain people, I mean celebrities, right? LeBron James is married to a black woman. He's been married to her since they are married with her. He's been with her since they were in high school. And he's very outspoken about social justice issues. He does a lot for the community. He's very pro-black. So people would think that, oh, if Bronny is going to bring home a woman or if he's going to take a woman to prom, she also is going to fit into that mold. People assume that. So when the picture contradicts this image that they had about Bronny or the James family, I think that's why you have such a big reaction. Also, too, we don't see that much of Bronny's personal life, at least from what I know, I guess. So yeah,
we shouldn't, because he's 17 years old.
Right, we shouldn't. So now when we do see something, and this is one of the first things we see, it's even more, dare I use the word, jarring to certain people. You know, it's like, whoa, okay. And so that's why I think people have such a strong reaction.
Do you put this in the same vein as Hubert Davis, my wife is white type of situation?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Hubert Davis went out of his way to let everybody know his wife was white. Like, it didn't, the subject, he was at a press conference to talk about being the first black coach for a university. The subject was sports. The subject was coaching. The subject was basketball. Right?
Yeah.
Not his wife.
Yeah, not his wife.
There was no need for that. This is not even, I don't even know where to put that. I don't even know. Did RG3 comment on that, by the way?
I can't remember.
I don't think he did. Probably did. I don't think he did. But it's not the same thing.
So I think the bigger question here is, do people have the right to be?
I think people have the right to be shocked. Right? Like, I thought, is shocked a strong word?
I'm asking. I really don't know. People have the right to, do people have the right to care about this? I don't think you have the right to care about people's kids.
That's if a different question. Yes. They don't have the right. Do they have the right? Should people care? Is that your question?
No. Well, I'm asking if they have the right. Like, do they have the right to give a fuck about who, because we understand the reason why people care, right? You just explained it beautifully. And people want to see black men prioritize black women. People want to see.
Especially with money, and that's an athlete.
Right. People want to see black men love, prioritize, uplift, enrich, and appreciate black women. That's what they want to see. That's what we want to see in the culture.
And let's be honest, this plays into a stereotype. The picture fits a stereotype.
What's that stereotype?
That athletes, black athletes, want non-black women. But that's a stereotype.
in this particular case, doesn't the fact that he's rich as shit and goes to a rich school where there's not as many sisters, doesn't that have to do more with why this is rather than him being an athlete? You say no?
No, because I'm not saying anything against it. I'm just saying I think this is why people also have such a strong reaction to it, because it's like, oh, typical, of course. Even if he goes to a predominantly white school, he has access, being rich, being popular, having as many followers, to a lot of different people, right? Yeah. He could have easily met
What Sierra Canyon is? That shit out in the valley. You expect that man to go deep?
You don't think he has a car, freedom, to go hang out and meet other people?
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. Bronny not... I don't know. You expected Bronny to drive to Baldwin Hills? A nigga not going to Westchester?
Black people live in black neighborhoods.
They don't, but they do a lot more. Okay, let's keep it all the way gangsta.
I'm just saying, with social media and DMs and all that, it's not hard to meet up with somebody else who doesn't go to your predominantly white school. That's all I'm saying. Anyways, but... you have more access. I know. I went to one too. I went to PWI. Like
look what happened.
And look what happened.
Get off Bronny. Get out of his fucking business.
Seriously.
You fucking dear kid,
man. It's prom.
RG3 though, you know what the real thing is though, RG3? Cool. We want to hear you on some other shit too, RG3.
Okay. Remember that weird video he posted of his wife doing squats, trying to make it seem like white women have white butts? You gotta stop.
I'm gonna look and see what RG3. Oh, we want to hear you on some other shit too, RG3. Not just when
don't try to be the spokesperson for this. It doesn't need one. As a person who's in an IR, we don't want you speaking on our behalf. Please stop. Because then I have to defend the relationship and you speaking out for us. I got to do both.
That's your man. That's your man. That's your man.
You know? Stop.
That's your guy. You know? But RG3 has spoke out on some other stuff. He spoke out on some other stuff, but I just want to hear RG3 be as passionate, you know, on other stuff. But he's spoken. I don't want to take it from him. I just don't like him that much. There's no reason for it other than...
Well, you're honest. I just don't like him feeling like this didn't need it. We didn't need somebody to speak out on this. We didn't.
All right. So Black Lives Matter update. The Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation has launched a transparency and accountability center on its website, okay, to make its financial documents available for public inspection from the site. We are embracing this moment as an opportunity for celebration, accountability, healing, truth-telling, and transparency. We aim to move forward into this next chapter with the lessons learned, achievements underscored, and a renewed commitment to justice and power building in service to our community. The right has taken up this cause, hoping to sow mistrust in our work via their media outlets. They have spread misinformation and have taken what is a really important conversation for our community, trashed it, and used their coverage as some sort of validation of their racist allegations. We hope that this is the beginning of a real conversation for our people about the dynamics of our power and our relationship to money. The foundation's still worth tens of millions of dollars after spending more than $37 million on grants, real estate consultants, and other expenses. In a new 63-page Form 990, shared exclusively with the Associated Press, the Black Lives Global Network Foundation, Inc. reports that it invested $32 million into stocks from the $90 million it received as donations amid racial justice protests in 2020. That investment is expected to become an endowment to ensure the foundation's work continues in the future, according to organizers. They're trying, Rachel. What do you got to say, Rach? Come on, give it to us.
Did they admit any responsibility? Did they admit, or did they just say we're going to put up our tax filings up for people to view?
What do you want them to admit? What do you want them to admit?
I mean, hasn't it been pretty obvious that Patrice used some money in a questionable way? Can't there be some type of statement about past people who were in power who work, or past person in power who worked, who might have used the money in a way that, I don't know, they didn't necessarily agree with. And so moving forward, we want to be transparent about that, some type of acknowledgement to what's going on. I mean, this is great. It's great that, yeah, they're putting up, they're addressing it, kind of. But I think, yeah, they just got a long ways to go.
You don't like it?
It's not that I don't like it. It's a step. But, and I'm not saying that we got to be involved in every single detail of that, of what that organization does, but they have lost a lot of trust. The trust is lost between a lot of people and this organization. And I think it's going to take more than a statement. I'm not reading all of that. I think it's going to take more than all of that.
That's a problem.
I'm not.
Like that.
And most
that
people aren't.
Issue. So my thing is this, if you read all the bullshit about them,
I read the statement.
I'm saying, like, what, like, why wouldn't you, why, see, and by the way, I know that people aren't going to read it, but why wouldn't you read it? Like, why wouldn't you read it?
Because it's a lot to read. I'm just going to be very honest with you.
Rachel hit Black Lives Matter with a TLDR. Like you, why wouldn't you read it? It's like, why do we only want to be a part of the pitchforks and not
that's
a part
not
of the
true
process.
Don't say it, that I, it's not I, I, don't say I, it's I, the pitchforks it, because
but
we were supporting it, we were supporting the organization. That's
and
not true. Don't
up.
Say don't say that we're not that like we're always with the pitchforks, because we were supporting it, and there was it was deny, and now when you can no longer deny, I'm not saying that it's not great that they're saying something. I'm mm-hmm. just saying I think what a lot of people feel is that there were continuous lies. So the trust is broken. And it's like at this point, I'm not saying that they can never be come back, but I'm just not interested right now when I can give money and support other organizations who are doing the same work.
So this is my number one cultural problem. This is my number one cultural problem right here. My number one cultural problem is not, we are going to make mistakes as a culture. We're
sure.
going to make mistakes as humanity, as a people. My number one cultural problem is, what is the purpose of family if you don't get a soft bed to land on when you fucked up? I have a grandmother who had a son that was in and out of jail. I had two grandmothers who had sons that were in and out of jail. I'm not meaning to besmirch my uncles or my grandparents. But you know what I learned from these women? I learned from these women that even though these men fucked up, that they cannot become better men, which they did, without someone believing in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all too often in our culture, we are right there to consume everything when it's time to tell somebody just how fucked up they are.
Mm-hmm.
But even if when somebody tries to correct it, we've already made up our decision. I think a lot of people didn't read it. And I think the reason why a lot of people didn't read it is because they've already punted on Black Lives
No, Matter. Van, the reason a lot of people didn't read it is because I don't know how to read a 990 tax form that's 63 pages. I'm not reading that. I need an explanation. Somebody needs to break it down for me. I don't understand that. I don't do taxes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the page itself. You didn't read
No,
the whole thing.
Of course I read the statement.
You read the page? You read the whole
I'm
page?
I'm saying I'm not reading. They read. It's literally a paragraph.
This is what I want you to do. I want you to give Black Lives Matter a chance to revoke.
It's not. I read the paragraph and I'm acknowledging it. I read the paragraph and I'm acknowledging it. But what they put up in regards to transparency to prove that is their tax form. I'm not reading 63 pages. That's what I'm talking about. They put up their 990 form. Did you read it? No, you didn't read it.
I be reading that. I read, not only did I read that 990 form, but I read the entire indictment from YSL.
Yeah, no, that's wild. I was not reading 100. I'm not a fast reader. I'm not reading 180 pages of an indictment.
Read it on the plane, my nigga.
Nope.
Read it on the plane.
No, but listen, I'm not taking
away
from
Young Thug
from
that was wilding. Young Thug and them was wild.
I'm not taking away from what Black Lives Matter is trying to do. I'm just saying I wasn't going to read all of that. And they're right now, transparency is them putting up their tax form. That's great. I'm not reading 63 pages of it. And Van, you're there are very few people who are.
Oh.
I want transparency in another way.
But you understand.
Sorry, to clarify. I read the statement.
This morning I listened to a 2-hour video on the history of the Star Wars timeline. It's just kind of what I do.
It's why you're knowledgeable about so many different things.
I'll be honest with you. Do you know what happened? This used to be, back in my days, this used to be porn time. This used to be the time that I would spend like watching porn. And I don't. So I'm just getting smarter.
And the fact that you had it scheduled in, on an average day, how much did you used to watch porn? How many hours?
Talk about it.
How many hours? Well, clearly the fact that this is a 2-hour video replaced your time, so I can do a ballpark guess.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. So now I have, now I'm not, indulging. And because I'm not, I'm getting it, baby. So much information. So almost too much. And that's why I think that this is what I think. Let's go back to the broader sense here. I guess this is what I'm asking you. A lot of people had a problem with the wording in this entire deal because Black Lives Matter, once again.
No, that's not me.
Once again, Black Lives Matter, to a lot of people, shifted the onus off of their business practices and their conversation with the community in terms of transparency and back onto the right, which is looking for a reason to take out Black Lives Matter. A lot of people have a problem.
Yes, they put that in there. Yes, Jesus,
stop. Yeah, a lot of people had a problem with that, okay?
And I agree.
That's true, though.
You've lost the right to say that in this particular statement. Lost the right to say that.
But don't you have to say it,
because
though?
That is what Patrice used to say. Oh, this is people doing this. But it's like, but no, Patrice, you are doing some things wrong as well. So my there's a time and a place for that. In this time, all we needed you to do is say, we're moving forward. We're doing this. We recognize that not everything has been open and honest, and we're taking an effort to move forward because we realize we have lost trust and faith with people. Because here's the thing. Unlike, this isn't a particular person. This is an organization, and there are many organizations. I'm talking about Black Lives Matter.
Oh, I see.
Organization. Yeah, yeah. There are many organizations and people that do this type of work. So even if you say, I'm giving up on the organization, there are other places that you can put your time and energy, money and support into that are doing the same work. The problem is Black Lives Matter still has a lot of money. And we need to see them do good with that money. So it's like, don't give up on them. You still got to do some type of support because we need to see them take that money and use these efforts and pour them into the community. We need to be watching what they're doing. We need to hold them accountable because hopefully this money can trickle down into some of these efforts that we're trying to do to improve the community, to stop injustices and to give to some of these other organizations that don't have the funds to do it. Like you're the pastor in Chicago talking about he's asked for money.
Brooks.
Thank you.
Never take money from Black Lives Matter because
he said he wrote them multiple times and they never responded to him. He tried.
Oh, so look, I just thought maybe with some of his politics that's not something.
No. He said he said he tried. He's quoted saying he tried and they never responded to him.
So bust this. This is what I'm saying. I think the entire conversation is important. And this is why I say this. I think that the entire conversation is important. I think it's important for us to be able to have an ongoing, real, no holds barred conversation with the people who claim that they're working for us. I also think it's important that we understand that a lot of the people that are going to come for the people that are trying to fuck us up are going to be from the outside. Let me give you an example of this. The Dr. King thing. There are still people that would listen to our podcast that don't think that Dr. King was fucking a million women. Fact, he was. Facts.
Not a million.
A lot.
I mean, just saying, if you're going to say facts.
Okay.
Just say a lot.
facts, right? So look, it's real that the man who was the moral leader of our country, the moral leader of our country, had an infidelity problem. And, was doing his thing, okay? Now, that's something that would be fodder for all kinds of talk around the church, all kinds of people like that. Do you know who was getting that information to use that against Dr. King? The fucking FBI. J. Edgar Hoover, who wanted Dr. King dead. He wanted him gone. He wanted Dr. King dead. Wanted him gone. Wanted him to kill himself. I'm not saying that that excuses the fact that this man wasn't a great husband. I don't think it had anything to do with his work. Black Lives Matter, this does have to do with their work, so it's not exactly a one-to-one. But what I'm saying is the source of this stuff absolutely matters. It absolutely matters that the people...
Not right now.
The people... I just don't agree. The people that are behind this want to put... Are the people on the right, are they looking for holes in what happened in the January 6th incident? Are they? No, what they're going to do is they're going to make sure the people that are trying to help you are doing things perfectly. They're going to make sure the people that are trying to help you, that are trying to further things or raise awareness for the things that you care about, the people that are working for them, the fucking the Matt Gaetzes and the Mitch McConnells and the fucking the Proud Boys and all of that, they're not going to go tell you what's wrong with their organizations. They're not going to tell you what's going on with them, because they don't want those people to be depowered. They want Black Lives Matter depowered. And so Black Lives Matter has, number one, an obligation to understand that. But number two, we have an obligation to understand that. That this conversation is between them and us and not between them and fucking Fox News. And I think that's fair.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying not right now in that moment to make that statement. I think... If you had taken out that part, the message still would have been the same. We don't need to know that there are people who are against you. We got it. That's why the fucking organization got started. We know that. We know people are against you. We know people want to bring you down. At that moment, your whole point of putting up that statement was to show that you were trying to be transparent moving forward. Stick with that. Just in this statement, that's all I'm asking for. Because especially when the person who used to head your organization, used to, I don't know why I made a face, when she used to head their organization, her whole thing was, I'm not doing wrong. These are just people against me. These are just trying to be people these are just people trying to tear me down, trying to fight what the organization is trying to do. That's true. But it was also true that you were doing some things that are wrong. So now to do that same thing when we're doing this because of all the news surrounding Patrice Cullors just doesn't land the same. It doesn't take away how I necessarily feel. And obviously, I'm not turning my back completely on the organization. I'm just saying there's a time and a place. This wasn't the time for you to let us know what other people are doing wrong. We focus in on your wrongs right now.
All right, let's get crunk for like 30 seconds. Hold on.
But why?
Because that was a good conversation. I don't want to get crunk.
But this the song you chose?
That's it.
Donnie Trudy, were y'all moving? Were y'all moving?
That was a good conversation. I wanted to get crunk. All right. We have to talk about animal games real quick. We're not doing animal games this week. Donnie decided. And let me tell you why we're not doing animal games. Because the questions, first of all, Animal Games works better once or twice a month, which is what you guys told me before. But my dickheadness didn't allow me to agree with you guys, but it's very true. Secondly, we're running out of questions for Animal Games. You guys aren't sending in the questions as much. So it's better to penalize you guys right now for your slow participation on Animal Games, something that we love here, and to let the questions build up. And then we'll do Animal Games next week or the last Thursday in the month. I think Animal Games should be probably the last Thursday of every month. All right? But Animal Games is one of the best things that's ever happened.
Well, they like it. So I'm shocked at the lack of people. Well, you know what it is? They don't know their animals either.
They don't know.
That's the problem. That's the problem. They don't know their animals either. They don't know shit about animals. They don't know where to start. I wouldn't either, guys.
But I'll tell you what we can do. Donnie, run a song. Animal games. Animal games. I was talking about mailbag.
I know you were.
That's the animal games theme song right there.
Donnie. And if you guys want to hear more of that, you better send in questions.
You better send in questions to Animal Games. All right, now, Donnie, I was talking about the mailbag song. Go ahead, he couldn't help himself.
All right.
Mailbag time. Time to read your letters, and then we'll reply to them. Oh, it's mailbag time. Write us with your queries, and we'll chime in.
All right. First question is coming from Gappy. Okay, hold on. Gapipkin on Reddit. Put these people in order using any criteria you like, but explain why. Oprah, Michelle Obama, Beyonce.
Michelle, Beyonce, Oprah.
What's your criteria?
That Oprah turned her back on hip hop when we needed
her most. That's not a criteria.
My criteria is that Michelle Obama is one of the most accomplished people in the history of America. Beyonce is a cultural deity and a legend. Oprah is an amazing, trailblazing person that is fantastic. Love Oprah, but she turned her back on hip hop when hip hop needed her the most.
Okay, my order is Michelle, Oprah, Beyonce. And my criteria is just the impact that I believe they've had on, I'm not even going to say the culture, I'm just going to say the country. Because if I say the culture, the people might change it up, but I'm going to say Michelle, Oprah, Beyonce.
All right, Beehive, get her. Next question.
It's a good question.
This is a great question.
All right, next question is coming from Quitting Quitter on Reddit. They want to know, have you ever had a friend say something so egregious, not even personal to you, that it made you reassess your relationship with them? And they give an example. I stopped hanging with the guy who straight-faced called marijuana a gateway drug while we were drinking. If he's that dumb, I can't be caught up in his shit.
Yeah.
I don't think I have.
But the stuff that I have is like more like stuff that niggas tell me that they did.
Like behind closed doors?
Nah. It's just like niggas would say shit like, you know, I had homies back in Baton Rouge would be like, yeah, bro, I was calling her, and she would not pick up the phone. So I just went over there and kicked the motherfucking door in. I'd be like, oh, for real? Prick, delete. Fuck out of here, nigga. I'm not like what the fuck, like shit, like, and they would talk like that. Me and Ian would look at these dudes and be like, yo, this nigga crazy.
That's it, they're like, crazy.
You know what I'm saying? It'd be like me and Ian, Ryan, the rest of the Player Proof crew, because we never had no situations like that in the PPC. We had the opposite of that. But we never, not at least to my knowledge, we never had anything like that that we talked about. But like, there would be guys that would be hanging around us, and we'd be like, nah, nigga, you done. Fuck out of here. So just stuff like that, but not like anything other than that, you know? All right, Donnie, come on. Let's get it.
Okay. Tycho Medi on IG asks, which black sitcom moms would you cast for an all black real world in ATL?
Black sitcom moms?
For an all-black real world?
In Atlanta.
So how many? So should we say five? Okay, we'll name five.
So this is what I would do. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Aunt Viv.
Both, though.
No, just the first one.
Now, see, you're not, this is the real world.
You're
so
thinking
you
drama.
Smoke.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're totally right. Let me get my mind right. Both of them. You're right.
Right.
Moms. Oh, Claire you Huxtable. gotta have Claire Huxtable.
Claire Huxtable, yeah. The mom from the Jeffersons.
Oh, Weezy.
Weezy. And then after that, it's Florida Evans.
Got to.
Yeah, like got to. Have her that, because she's gonna be like the peacemaker, you know.
Who Winona. Are we missing? Like who? And Harriet Winslow does not make the cut.
Nah, she's not gonna be on there. Let's keep it real. She's like a
bottom. No. She does not make the cut.
Yeah, I love her. Who, I love the
Winslow. You know what though? Who's a close?
Who?
Cheryl Lee Ralph.
I'd say the closest one
as the mom in Moesha. No, she's good.
She's great. I would say the closest one would be Tracy from Black-ish, but Tracy's not the reality show type. She's not gonna, Bo is not gonna bring the drama. Bo is not gonna bring the drama, you know.
What about Jack Gay from Sister?
Sister.
She's an honorable mention. I still like our five. I like our five.
I never fuck with Sister like that.
I did.
I could tell Donnie is a Sister watcher. Okay. So, Unexpected Ally of the Week. That's enough mailbag. It's over. Before we get to Unexpected Ally of the Week, I want to do something, and I did not ask if I could do this.
Okay.
I want to heap love on Donnie Beecham Jr.
Aw.
Our intrepid Donnie Beecham Jr. lost a beloved member of his family, his oldest dog, that they had to put down. Okay. I am a dog lover and a lover of dogs. And I understand intimately, as I think a lot of you out there do, what a member of your family and what an invaluable piece of your life that your dog becomes. So Donnie, I know that it was hard and I know that you're going through it and I know that it's tough. I just wanted to tell you that I love you. And that I know that your pup meant a lot and that your pup is playing around in doggy heaven right now and is free of pain. And I'm here for you, man.
We love you, Donnie.
I appreciate y'all.
Donnie.
I love y'all back. I definitely appreciate it.
All right. Now I need you to be a man and suck it up. Okay, we gotta finish the rest of this podcast.
Yeah, we got ads to read. Damn.
No, I love you, man. I love you, brother. All right, Unexpected Ally of the Week. This is easy for me. There was a fucking Uber driver who kicked a racist woman out of his Uber. I don't know the guy's name. I didn't.
Is there video?
Oh my God, I put it up on my fucking Instagram. It is the greatest thing ever. What? I didn't even get the guy's name. Oh my, Rachel, it's the best video ever. I swear to God. You know what, Donnie? Put the video in. Put the sound in. This is how much of an ally. Like, every time I think about my ally's take, I think, maybe if it was more niggas like this. Put the sound in right here. Like, listen to this. Listen to this, Rachel. It's in Pennsylvania. Check this out.
Hello. For Jackie, right?
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, you're like a white guy.
What's that?
Are you like a white guy?
Excuse me?
Are you like a normal guy? Like you speak English? Sorry.
No, you can get out of the car. I'm gonna cancel a ride. That's inappropriate.
What?
It's completely inappropriate. If somebody was not white sitting in the seat, what would be the difference?
Are you serious?
She said, wow, you're a white guy.
Oh,
that's okay. I'm not gonna take the ride. You guys can get out.
Really?
Yeah. Completely inappropriate.
Oh, you're a fucking asshole.
It's all on
you're
camera,
a piece
man.
Of shit.
It's all on
I
camera.
I should punch you in the fucking face.
Oh, you're gonna threaten
God.
Me.
Yeah.
Assault.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Wow.
Because you guys are racist fucks.
Dude, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Fucking nigger lover. Fuck you.
Jeez.
Nuts.
You know what?
Nuts.
I'm not doing a fucking ally of the week. That just pissed me off. Oh my God. But like, seriously, shut up. I'm not giving praise to anybody. And I had one. I'll save it. Oh my gosh.
No, nothing tickles me more than when Rachel curses.
Tickles.
Like, nothing tickles me more than
I'm
Rachel
upset.
Curses.
And I know that was meant to show somebody, shout out to this guy. This guy is amazing, and you're right. If we need more people like him. He did not have to do this at all. He could have shut up and said nothing. And instead, he took, this is an ally.
This is an ally. By the way, he passed up money. See, that's the thing. He didn't just come back and say he canceled the ride. I don't want to take your racist money. These people apparently own a restaurant in Pennsylvania. It's called Fossil's Last Stand. If you go give Fossil's Last Stand a bad Yelp review, I'll give you a kiss on the cheek. That's hilarious, Rachel. Okay.
What's it called?
Fossil's Last Stand is the name of the restaurant. All right, I got to find out his name. I didn't look at his name. I should have looked at his name, but I was too busy reading the 88-page YSL indictment and the 994 fucking whatever.
Whoa, my gosh. On Yelp, it has one star and 2,500 reviews.
Yeah, we went fucking nuts on Fossil's Last Stand. Went nuts on him. Okay. It is time to go. Take the thinking caps off, but do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan Jr.
And I'm Rachel Lynn Lindsay. Bye, guys.
That old dog's name was Blue. You know Blue was mighty true. You know Blue was a good old dog.